Find your place, if you would, please. The book of Revelation and chapter number 8. Revelation and chapter number 8. Wednesday evening of this week, there will be no teachers' meeting. Most of those involved in our teachers' meeting are involved in the Vacation Bible School. And so we'll begin our service here sharply at 7:30. And coming to that service this week, if you would, I want you to come in and sit. Try to sit in front of the poles. A number of our folks will be down in the other building, and so it will be the few and the proud will be here in the auditorium. And so come along, if you would. We'll have a little bit more in our prayer time this week on Wednesday evening, and then we'll be off of our series Wednesday night. We'll be back on it next Sunday. We'll meet down in the gym for an afternoon service. And following that, as we get into the rest of the month of August, we're going to be looking at the church, and we're going to go back for a few services and catch Revelation 2 and 3, where Christ is speaking to John and giving John a message to deliver to those New Testament churches. And so we're going to look at each of those messages. Tonight we're in chapter 8 and a lengthy section of reading. You just keep your seat if you would. Make sure you have something that you can take maybe a few notes to. And let's begin tonight looking at when heaven falls silent. Now imagine, let's catch up. Let's review where we've been. We looked at in chapter 4 and verse 1, we were witnessing the end of the church age, because Christ is going to rapture His church out, will be in His presence. Chapter 5, Dr. Sumter covered that. We're looking at what heaven, and we're watching as heaven is rejoicing and how heaven is worshiping God, the inhabitants that are there. And then we move from that to Jesus taking the seven seals from the hand of the Father, and the seals begin to be open, and the earth is engulfed in what we would call horror for 3.5 years of tribulation. And then we went through just a little bit of a break. There's a reprieve as God shows mercy. And we came lastly to 144,000 who are saved in that. And John sees them beneath the altar. And from those, a tremendous number which cannot be counted by any man is what John said. So we believe that there are actually millions of people who will be saved who had never heard the gospel of Christ. Then we went over, during all of those, we went over what heaven is going to sound like. There are angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." That was given to us this morning in the offertory service, part of our service. And the words, "Holy, holy, holy," the angels are going to be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Those of us who are saved are going to be singing redemption song. And the beast are going to be voicing praise, and the elders are going to be voicing praise. And then we pick up where we are tonight in chapter 8 and verse number 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and they were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with their prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and he cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass. Now notice it gives the trees 33%, 33 and a third. And all of the grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part, again 33 and a third percent of the sea, became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now you can mark that. That's not the oceans, that's the freshwater supply. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And behold, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven with a voice, a loud voice. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and the three angels which are yet to sound. So in the midst of all that's happening in verse 7 down through verse 12, which we're going to look at momentarily, in the midst of all of that, and heaven sits silent. Silence is an incredible thing. We'll look at it in a few moments. And heaven sits silent, and then suddenly another angel appears. And that angel is with the loud voice. Woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the... You know what he's saying? You haven't seen anything yet. I want us to look tonight first at these trumpets. Things are going to go from bad to worse. And notice verse 1, there is silence in heaven. John describes a scene that I think is probably a first, because there's absolute silence, and he tells us how long that silence lasts. A half an hour. Chapters 4, 5, and 7, much time is spent describing what's happening in heaven. What true worship really is. I believe there will be instruments, there will be music, there will be singing, there will be voice praising, there will be testifying one to another of those that stand beside us. We will testify of the goodness of God and the grace of God and what He did for us in our earthly lives. The greatest testimony service that ever has been held will be held in heaven. And heaven has been full of volume. It's been full of noise. It's been full of praise. It's been full of song. It's been full of worship. And now there is silence. The beasts are silent. The elders are silent. The redeemed are silent. All of the angels are silent. I picture this silence as a time where you could actually hear probably what we would say in our vernacular. We could hear a pin drop. And heaven sits totally silent. Notice that silence is a powerful thing. Put yourself in some circumstances if you would. Young men, you have met a girl. You have been smitten by her. Your heart is for her. And you say, I want to marry her. And you do it the right way. And so you go talk to her parents. And you grow together. And it is the time for you to propose to her. And so you set everything up just right to propose to her. And you decide to go traditionally and you get on your knee. And you pull out the ring. And you say to her, will you marry me? And for 30 minutes she says nothing. You are in a courtroom. You know you are innocent. You have been tried. And the case has been given to the jury. And the jury has come back in. And the judge has been handed the verdict. And the judge opens the verdict. And then for 30 minutes... nothing. I've been in services like this before. There are some preachers who, when they find that someone has fallen asleep during their preaching, they will find a way to very loudly say something to wake someone up. But I have noticed this. Tried it before. Sometimes the easiest way to wake someone up who has been overtaken in sleep is just stop speaking. Can you imagine tonight if I came to this platform and I began a message and we read the scripture and I just stopped? Silence gets your attention. Heaven falls perfectly silent. And all of the inhabitants know what is about to happen. We will have read it. We may even stand there at that moment and think, I remember when Pastor read the scriptures that night. I remember reading a book. I remember reading Revelation. I remember it. Yeah, it's a deja vu moment. I remember reading it, and now here we are at that moment. That moment in time which was prophesied of the Old Testament, that moment of time which John saw and told us about, that moment of time where in the book of Matthew Jesus talked about it, this is that moment. And there'll be a silence of awe. Silence is a powerful thing. Now, what we're seeing in these verses is the lull before the storm. I'll not have you turn back there. We did in a past service. It took us a little while to the book of Habakkuk, which talks about these things. Chapter 2, we went to chapter 3 once before, but chapter 2 and verse 20 says this. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. The earth is not going to hear His voice. And the earth is not going to acknowledge His power. But all of heaven is going to fall silent. I want you to look at the second thing with me. Not just the silence in heaven, but verse 2 through verse 5. There is a service going on as well. There's a service at the altar. In verse number 2, we see preparation being made. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. They are preparing here. They are preparing for the service that has been theirs. Now we see the seven angels. They're given seven trumpets, and these trumpets are going to be used to send judgment to the earth. We have already spoken in this study about the importance of trumpets. You can go to the book of Numbers, chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. And it talks about them sounding the trumpet to call the leaders of the nation of Israel. There was a certain sound. To call all of the people together, there was a certain sound of the trumpet. When Israel was moving back, when they were a nomadic nation, they had not yet settled, there was a sound of the trumpet which told them to march on. Now, tonight we know different sounds of the trumpet. We know there is a sound of the trumpet for retreat. There's probably nothing so solemn as to hear the sound of a trumpet as it plays taps at a graveside. And the trumpet should be important for every Christian. You ought to be listening for the sound of the trumpet. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 is addressing the church. And he's talking about the sounds of the trumpets. And he says in that particular verse, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? And Paul is telling them and telling us tonight that the sound of the trumpet means that there needs to be preparation. Now, God's people, I think we ought to be listening for the trumpet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 and 17, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of God, with a trumpet, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, listen to this. Not just a trumpet sound, but notice what he says. At the last trump. At the last trump. And for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So trumpets are a big part of the future. Now I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture back in the book of Joshua chapter 6. It's the story of Jericho. Somebody, brother, you mentioned this morning, the walls of Jericho. You remember what they were given? They were given trumpets. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. Something different happened that day. After they marched around seven times, the trumpets blew. What happened to the walls? The walls all fell in. That is the strangest battle I think that you'll ever read of as far as how battle went about. But in this passage of Scripture tonight, nothing less important is happening in this Scripture than happened in Joshua. In fact, probably more so, because when these trumpets sound, the enemies of God are getting ready to collapse. Everything that has been anti-God and anti-Christ is ready to be crushed. And so we see that their service at the altar, it first of all in verse 2 involved preparation. The second thing we find in verse 3 and 4, it also involved prayers. Now, this angel takes the censer and it is filled with incense. The Bible has a lot to say about that back in the book of Leviticus when it's talking about the offering sacrifices. You'll find that for certain sacrifices, the Bible talks about the entire animal being consumed, but you will find certain sacrifices, and the Scripture will tell you this, it's a fat offering. The fat from the animal was burned at this sacrifice. Another was the organ sacrifice. All of the main living organs, the life organs of the animal were sacrificed. And each of them, it's said to God, were a sweet smelling savor. It was an offering sacrifice. Now notice when we get to this passage in verse 3 and 4, he takes that censer, that golden censer, and it's given to him much incense. But notice this, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. All right, now heaven has been silent for 30 minutes. Totally silent. Deadly silent. All the inhabitants know what's getting ready to happen. I suggest to you at this moment they know prayer is about to be answered. Back in Revelation chapter 4 when we were there, it said that these who came from beneath the altar were praying. You remember what they were praying? And here's their words. How long? How long, O Lord, and I paraphrase, are you going to allow all of this to go on before you judge men for what they have done to us and before you get glory for yourself? That prayer is ready to be answered. Now, there are some mysterious things in these verses, but there are a couple of lessons that we can learn. The prayers of God's people are kept by God. You have things that you keep. I have things that I keep that are sentimental, that are valuable. And I've told you before, they're valuable because of who gave them to me. And I keep those. Somewhere God has captured all of the prayers of His saints. And at this altar, the angel takes the much incense that is spoken of and combines it with the prayers of God's people. And the fire is added from the altar. God holds a special place in His heart for the prayers of His people. The prayer of God's people are kept. We also find a lesson in this, that the prayers of God's saints are answered. I've been praying with someone yesterday about a need, and I didn't know what all of the need was. Just simply requested that we pray, and we have prayed for them. And today, in speaking, they said, God answered the prayer. He said no, but He answered the prayer. Well, no is an answer. These prayers that we give are kept by God, and our prayers are going to be answered by God. I mentioned to you from chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus, when He gave us the model prayer, and He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And He holds that prayer. And the people of God now have prayed and asked Him to demonstrate His power, to avenge His name, and to get glory to Himself. And He is ready to do that. And we find another lesson. The prayers of God's saints have power with God. You realize this tonight, the young ladies just sang and ministered to us, and they said, an advocate. We have an advocate in heaven. That ought to encourage us. You know what the word advocate has to do with? We have a lawyer. We have one who argues our case in heaven. But you realize this, we also have an advocate on the earth. Jesus said, it's imperative that I go away, because if I don't go, the other comforter. So before the throne of God, we have an advocate that takes our prayers. And here's what happens to our prayers. And you know, so many people, they believe the name it, claim it, when they choose verses out of context and say anything that you ask, you'll receive. But when the advocate in heaven is working with the Father, and the Holy Spirit that lives within us is working with us, it brings His will and our prayer together. The answer, the timing of the answer may be different from what we expect. I say all these things to tell you this. We have what we call the privilege of prayer. But understand this, tool that God has given us is the most powerful tool that we have in the battle for our Christian lives. Look at verse 5, if you would please. And the angel took the censer and he filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. I say at this point it involves some premonition, because the angel takes the censer and he fills it with the fire and he casts it to earth, and we see these things that happen. I want you to notice something. The same fire that causes the incense, and the incense which rises before the throne of God, and the incense which is pleasing to God, the same fire from the altar is applied to that censer, and the sweet-smelling savor of the sacrifice goes up, and the angel casts that to the earth, and the same fire that brings pleasing to God in heaven is bringing judgment on the earth. Those who have rejected God's love, God's grace, and as God's Son have absolutely nothing left but wrath. Unadulterated, no mercy, no grace, no reserve, the full wrath of God is ready to take over the earth. Look, if you would, verse 6 through 13. We won't read them all the way through again, but mark the suffering that happens on the earth. Verse 6, the angels take their place. And they prepare. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. What does that mean? That means they assumed the position of their assignment. They went to the place appointed to them by God, and they hold their trumpet ready to sound. Let's review what happens. In verse number 7, there's a trumpet of devastation. Notice what it says. The first, this devastation that is brought is fire mingled with blood and hail. Now, this may be a description of hail that is falling from the skies. And I've read behind those that say it may be mingled with some type of a volcanic eruption at the same time, to have the hail and the fire. That may be so. This is one of those things we don't fully know. The blood might be the blood of men and animals from some catastrophic event that is occurring in this judgment. Or it could refer to contaminated water droplets. I mentioned a few weeks ago when Mount St. Helens erupted. And we're thousands of miles removed from that. I was in the last year of high school, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember going outside, and we had had a rainstorm. And the rain came through. And usually, you know, rain washes the dust off of your car. And the ash from Mount St. Helens made it all the way to Richmond, Virginia. There's going to be great contamination. Now notice, whatever the nature of these judgments are, whatever they are exactly, this storm refers to pure, unreserved wrath falling up. Now notice what it says. It burns up one third of all the trees and all the greenery of the earth. Now I got to remind you of this. One third of what is left. There has already been famine. There has already been pestilence. There has already been drought. The ecosystem is already in danger. And now a third of the trees. Now, in reading more thoroughly with this, this is referring to all trees, but in particular, this word trees is referring to the fruit tree. But notice it says not just one third of the trees. Now, we know this, and some of our science teachers and science people can explain this even greater than I can. But in God's divine plan, the trees and the grass, the green plant life, provide for man what? Oxygen. Now imagine, if you would now, between 33 and 50%, given what has already happened in the tribulation, of all plant life has been consumed. We have some people in our church, and Brother Grant is one that we pray for so often, that has breathing issue in the COPD. And to watch somebody who has a difficulty breathing air, getting air in. Can you imagine how this is going to affect man? The oxygen level of the earth is depleting by the very nature that God created. And now 33% of the fruit trees and the trees. And notice he says all of the grass. Now what would that include? Why did he say all of the grass? Not just the grass that we have to mow. This word grass has to do with every form of growth, grain. So the famine has already hit. And now 33% of the trees, and now all of the grass, all of the grain. Can you imagine what that's going to do to the economy? We hear when there's a drought, or we hear when there's flooding in the Midwest, and the corn crop of the United States is limited, we hear of cattle farmers who take their entire herd to market early. And they cut their losses because they don't have sufficient supply. They can't afford to feed. Can you imagine the dead animals that are going to be laying? Because all of the grass, all of the grain, geology has been now affected. Ecology has been affected. And the economy has all been affected. Now, I'm not trying to tie a lot of stuff in. I'm just putting something out there for you to think of. The secular world knows something is getting ready to happen. And I'm talking about today. You turn your radio on at any given day, and you're going to hear advertisements to prepare. Right now, I have no idea how much it is, but you can buy it. If you order it this week, you get it for $500 off. I think it's Rand Paul, who is one who is advertising that he has done this. And he said, my family is storing up corn on the cob, lasagna, ice cream. He lists off all of these things as if it's a wonderful thing. He said, this process can preserve food for up to 25 years. Now, that all may be true. I just put this out here for you to understand. People know something's going to happen. And there's some preparation being made. Some of them know something's about to happen because they had just this much of the Scripture. Let's keep moving with this, if we can, please. That devastation comes. The destruction comes. The angel is giving out. Notice the trumpet of destruction, the second part. A fiery mountain is seen falling into the sea. This could be a description of a meteor falling unlike the world has ever seen before. Notice it says that it falls into the sea. And one third of the sea is contaminated. And one third of marine life dies. And one third of all of the ships, humanly speaking, the manufactured ships, one third are destroyed. I don't think we have any idea tonight how much our lives depend on the sea. You say, well, I don't like seafood. I'm not just talking about seafood. I'm talking about the things that we wear and the things that we use and the things that we live by that are shipped from other nations. Now, notice what's happening here. Something, we're thinking it is a meteor, falls from outer space. It hits the ocean. It contaminates the ocean. A third of everything in the ocean dies and is contaminating. It is rotting. Imagine the size of the tidal wave. Now, our first concern when we think of the tidal wave, or what we might call the tsunami, that is the after effect of what this is that falls into the ocean. The water's contaminated. That's a terrible part. Sea life is dying. That's a terrible part. There is this tsunami or tidal wave that comes out. And our concern, because we've seen pictures of it. We've seen videos of what happened in the islands several years ago. And people were there vacationing. And that tsunami came in. And we literally watched as people were consumed by the waters. You say, how is a third of all of the boats and the ships? Can you imagine that tidal wave? Greater than man has ever seen, as it makes its way across the ocean, and there's a cargo ship here loaded to the hilt, and the captain of the ship looks out, and here comes 100 to 150 foot of water. Think of the cargo ships that are going to be in the mouth of the shipping terminal. So those ships that do survive are not able to get in and out of port. There's a lot happening in this verse. There is the trumpet of devastation. There's the trumpet of destruction. In verse 7 and verse 8, I want you to notice this. Look down if you would. They both mention blood. I think it's an amazing thing that they talk about blood in the skies and blood in the sea. I think God is sending a very clear message to them in what His judgment is, because man has come to the adamant rejection of life-saving blood. That's what they fought against all of those years. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. There is a trumpet of death. Another object falls from heaven. We believe this to be, and notice if you would, in verse number 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. You can read in other portions of the Revelation and other books in the Old Testament that are speaking of this prophetically, and it speaks of this star having a tail to it. So this is either a star or a comet, one of the two. And notice what happens. It hits the freshwater supply. And when it does, it says that it falls to the fountains of the fresh waters, and it uses the word wormwood. Now notice it says that many people die because of the bitterness of the water. Now wormwood translates from a Greek word, apinthos, which is bitterness. Now there is a chemical drug that was real, it brought forth from ancient time. It really was done away with in manufacturing a number of years ago. It has about a 74% alcohol content to it. It's very bitter. It was known to cause tremendous psychotic change in man. And it was known to bring about death, and it was highly addictive. But in 1990, since 1990, it has come back into production. I tell you all of that because it says that this wormwood or this bitterness, this chemically was taken out because of death that it brought, the trumpet of death. Look at verse 12, if you would. There's the trumpet of darkness. The description is given that the sun does not shine as it has in the past. Imagine what that's going to do to the climate. We have those today that are so worried about global warming and climate change, and it's an argument. Is it happening? Is it not happening? Is it real? Is it not real? In the Bible, it's as real as it can be. Maybe not for today, but in the tribulation, it's going to be there. When you look at these things, this darkness, is it because of ash that is coming through the atmosphere? Possibility. But the Scripture says the sun, the moon, and the stars, none of them are shining. Imagine what that's going to do to the growing season, to what little vegetation is left. Now, I don't know if any of you may have chickens. I do. If you want some, I'll give them to you. They're interesting at first. But here's the truth about chickens. They have to have a certain amount of light per day. In fact, come the winter months when the days are short, those who are successful at being chicken farmers will put lights in the chicken coop. They allow the chickens to roost for the night, and when the chickens get in the coop to roost, they have lights either on a timer or they manually will turn the lights on, because in order to produce, whether it's egg or meat, there's a certain amount of light that is required. That's true about all life. And now the sun, moon, and stars. Day is not as long as it's supposed to be. Climate change will begin for sure. Weather patterns begin to change. I heard, I think it was Friday night, that we are due to have an eclipse. I think they said August the 21st. They're already telling you how to handle your animals for the eclipse. The article was rather interesting, the news article, because it said most animals on that day at the time of the eclipse, by something that's inside of them, their clock is going to be off. And they said, you may notice that your pet will find whatever place it normally goes at night and will sleep through the eclipse. All of those things having been said, the Scripture tells us that the sun, the moon, and the star, even at night. Do you know, I can't remember if it's January, February, I believe it's January, they talk about the winter blues. When people do not get the sunlight that they need, and it brings on depression. Now, all of these things that are happening are judgment of God falling. And now, on top of all that's happening outside of you, there's a battle of depression raging inside of you. The results are all the same. Now, since the beginning, God has taken care of them, and they've had all of the plants that they needed, all of the food that they needed, but they have blasphemed Him. They have taken Him for granted. They have denied that He created the heavens and the earth. And so now we're going to see God begin to take away their oxygen, to take away the plants that have yielded, the seed that has yielded, the fresh water supply that they had been given. God's going to say, I'm not going to take care of those anymore. Look at verse 13, the testimony of doom. The chapter closes with an angel flying through heaven. And as he flies through heaven, he's pronouncing that there are going to be further woes. Now, you see the scripture, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. He's telling heaven, you're watching and you're seeing this, but hang on, because worse is coming. The angel's actually saying, I feel for the inhabitants of the earth. I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, if you would, very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 38. A couple more statements and we're finished. Ezekiel chapter number 38. While you're turning there, let me be reading from Matthew 24 and verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. He is describing the very events that John is telling us are being prophetically given in the book of Matthew. Ezekiel chapter 38, come to verse 22. I'm waiting for the pages to quit turning. I want you to see this verse. Verse 22, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him. An overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. As all of these tremendous judgments, as these trumpet sounds are given and these judgments are placed on the earth, and now it's too late, there'll be no more redeemed. God has no more grace, no more mercy, and He is pouring out His anger. When I read through these passages, I found this word, power. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, the word powers, dunamis, gives us our word, yes, dynamite. And we know that that's an inherent explosion of power. But I want you to notice what this says, the powers of heaven. Now, the word heaven that is used in this particular passage of Scripture is in the original language. I'm going to spell the word for you. U-R-A-N-O-S. Uranos. From which comes, in our English language, the word uranium. Notice it says the word shaken means to be off balance. I don't think I'm taking too much liberty after looking back at what these words are, defining them from their original language, to state a little bit about how that verse reads. And the powers of uranium shall be set off balance. If I understand right, could the scripture be speaking of a nuclear power? I don't know. But when God created this universe, He built it with the tiniest part called the atom. And in the very core of everything that He spoke into creation is the atom. And just as God said, let there be, and it came into existence. He can fracture the smallest of atom. And he has the power and the authority to destroy all that he's created. We know that there's some time coming after this. We'll continue to study it. But we do know this. Later on in John's writing, he says this, which I have read at I don't know how many funerals. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven. And then he goes on to say this, and I saw the new Jerusalem. A lot of attention for the rest of our years, our life, and until the days of tribulation is going to be placed on that little place of Jerusalem. The Christian, be encouraged, because one day all of this will be gone. At the time of Noah, God destroyed mankind, but he saved Noah. And in the great tribulation, and in the millennial future, he'll destroy what he's created. He'll create it again. A new heaven. A new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, and listen to what he said, are passed away. They are no more. Then what's left? Sin is gone. Sinners are gone. Satan is condemned and put into hell for eternity and thrown into the lake of fire. And our minds that have been hindered by the presence and the power of Satan, who said, I will be like the Most High, we will have purified minds. I don't think we'll have recollection. I think God will erase out of our minds what all Satan did. And forevermore we'll rejoice in heaven with the Lord. And that silence of 30 minutes will be broken. And all of God's wrath is expended. And all that's left is joy and praise and worship. And even Bob Gillum can sing at that point. Amen? Those of you who weren't here years ago, Brother Bob Gillum used to sit down here and he couldn't carry a tune in the bucket nor the bucket. And in heaven and eternity, what a voice. And all of us will lift our hearts and our voices to the Lord. Listen, tonight, if you're here and you're saved, you ought to thank the Lord for it. And tonight, if you're here and there's one reservation in your heart, whether you are for sure saved, it'd be in your best interest tonight to run to the gospel. Allow somebody to take the Bible. You probably already know how to do it. If you're here and you're not saved. Listen, I sat here in this church for years unsaved. Doing all the things, had the outward look, but didn't have the inner peace. We're living, folks, in the last days. We're living in perilous times. Even the lost are expecting something to happen. They're just not trusting the Scripture to be right. Lift up your eyes. Our redemption draws nigh. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, please help us to understand the tremendous impact of judgment upon us.